Parents, brothers, sisters, grandparents, guardians, and you, the class of 2015, allow me to join with the others in welcoming you to this campus and to this day. To the talented class of 2015, I have a few things I want to say to you. I met many of you last year in different cities and different times, and I've been waiting for you. But first, I need to say a few things to your parents who are here. Thank you for bringing us your sons and daughters. You have brought us the future. Bringing your son or daughter to a college or university is an enormous and unbounded act of hope. It must be nearly impossible for you not to be running the film of your son or daughter's childhood in your head right now, from babies to children to personalities to friends. And now, suddenly, you're faced with a college student. How did that happen? This faculty and this administration recognizes, acknowledges, and is inspired by the hopes and the dreams you have for your sons and your daughters. We are joined in covenant with you because of it. We will honor it as we are honored by it. This is an old school and a good place. We will educate your sons and daughters, and we will take care of them. Groups of DePaul faculty members have welcomed new students to this campus for nearly 175 years. It is the rhythm of this place. Thomas Goodwin was a member of the first graduating class of this university, what was then called Indiana Asbury College. He was in a class of five students that would one day produce two lawyers, two ministers, and a United States senator. He was the first student to come to this university from outside Putnam County, Indiana. He entered college in November of 1837. He left his home in Brookville, Indiana, very early on a Wednesday morning. He began the journey from Brookville in a stagecoach. But 2 weeks of rain in the state had made passage by coach impossible once they left the outskirts of that small town. So the first 17 miles out of Brookville were covered in a horse-drawn wagon with two horses pulling. The passengers, there were three including Goodwin, hoped to make it to Indianapolis by nightfall. But 6 miles out of Indianapolis city limits, the wagon broke down in the midst of a deep ravine. The driver unhitched the wagon, and the other passengers mounted the horses, Thomas Goodwin walking alongside, holding the trunk that his mother and father had packed for him the day before. The next day, Goodwin, in Indianapolis, managed to catch a stagecoach that was headed for St. Louis, following a route that would pass through Putnamville, a village near the new college. By midnight, however, again because of the heavy rains, the coach had only traveled a few miles outside of Indianapolis, and by daylight of the next morning, they had only made it as far as Plainfield. Eventually, the next day, now Friday, the band of travelers, including Thomas Goodwin, made it to Stilesville. A day later, they made it to Putnamville. Finally, very early on Sunday morning, Thomas Goodwin made it to Lynch's Tavern on the east side of the square in Greencastle, the last few miles having been traveled by foot. The trip had taken 5 days. Now in Greencastle, Goodwin inquired of the tavern keeper where the college was. The tavern keeper replied, "I don't know." Last summer, it was supposed to be in the district schoolhouse, but I think they might have moved it to the county seminary buildings. I'm not sure you'll find much there, though. The tavern keeper was right on both accounts. The young college was holding forth in the county seminary buildings, giving us the name of Seminary Street on the north side of the campus. He was also right in saying that, for anyone looking at that time, they would not have found much there. It being Sunday morning, this young student went to his room and put on the one suit he owned, a suit that had been hand-spun and handmade by his mother because her son was going to college, and he went off to the Methodist Church. There he heard a sermon from the Reverend James L. Thompson, one of the new faculty members at the new college. At the close of the service, Goodwin went up to the Reverend and told him who he was. According to Goodwin's later written account of that day, here's what happened next. The man looked at me, and he cried out, "Hold, stop, brothers, hold, Brother Thornburg, Brother Cooper, Brother Hadley, Brother Dangerfield." These were all the faculty of the new college. "Here is Brother Tommy Goodwin, and he's come to us all the way from Brookville to attend our institution." Goodwin later stated that, "What followed was handshaking such that I had never been a victim of before, and no student of the college has ever since. I was the first realization of all their hopes." Thomas Goodwin had arrived, he entered college, and our story began. Dear members of the class of 2015, you are Tommy Goodwin. You are the realization of this university's hopes. You are the new echoes of this old school. And sitting behind me are faculty members who, while not wanting to make you a victim of violent handshaking, want to give you the whole world. It's our first day, too. It always is, every year. When you are a scholar and a teacher, the year begins when the possibility of ideas and energy and talk and learning renew themselves. So on this first day, I hereby and officially give you permission right now to work with this faculty and this college to make this world as big as you can. The slate is clean. The day is young. Open your eyes. You never know what you'll see. Open your ears because music's about to play. Open your mind because at this moment, at this very moment, all is possible. Every single faculty member sitting here, everyone, is waiting for you just to look us in the eye and say, "Tell me more." That begins everything. Then, as David Brooks has written about the power of a question-led life, begin to know something about something. Amass knowledge and pass it around. That is what this faculty has done and what they will do this semester and this academic year. Professors David Burke and Terry Bonebright, one a computer scientist, the other a psychologist, will teach a course on the science of design. Ellen Bayer has a course that will introduce you to the ethics of food. Bert Beretta has a seminar that will teach you about how economic markets really work. Professor Pauline Ota is offering a seminar this year entitled Sex and Power, which is actually about Japanese art. Your parents will only hear the word sex and power. If you're signed up for this course, just tell them it's about accounting. So what are you going to do here? What's next? Well, you're going to learn, you're going to laugh, and though you can't imagine it right now, you're going to get to know every one of us on the stage very, very well. And the people sitting next to you in those seats right now, in a very short while, you will not be able to imagine that once there was a time in your life when you didn't know them. They're your classmates now. You will study with them and eat with them and laugh with them. And at DePaul, you're going to have wonderful days, but you're going to have challenging days too. Some days you're on top of the world, and some days you're Tommy Goodwin stuck in the mud in Stilesville. But you get up, you move forward. Education is a contact sport. You can wrestle with thoughts. You can be stunned by beauty. Awe is always possible. And in just about 1,300 days from now, this class and this faculty and your family are going to gather again. But on that day, your commencement day, you'll be wearing robes too. And you're going to walk across a stage in front of this faculty, and you will have in your head so many memories that you'll think it's going to explode. And you'll be a chemist, or an economist, or a dancer, or a writer. And if we have done our job, if we have fulfilled the promise of a liberal arts college and a school of music, you will know that day that the world is full of magic and wonder. And if we have done our job, and if you are brave, you will find yourself in a place that needs your unique talents, in a career that draws in your every part, in a life full of wonder and books and music and miracles, large and small. And on that day, I will read you a charge, read by the DePaul University president to every class on the day of their graduation. I would like to read that charge for you today so you know where you're going. And here it is. Young men and women, you are entering into a community entrusted with a noble inheritance. You are heirs of all that is past, Men and women of rich mind have labored, and you are now entered into their labors. Prophets and sages, scholars and scientists, poets and public servants have wrought with patience and have sought truth. And the abundant fruit of their truth is now yours, is yours to use, to increase, and to bequeath to your successors. The university charges you to be strong and to acquit yourselves with integrity and to be loyal to your highest ideals. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, always think of these things. On this Saturday afternoon, as we welcome you on a day that starts one of the most crucial chapters in your lives, I can tell you that this university is true, it is just, it is lovely, and it is in good report. And I know that you are too. Class of 2015, have no small thoughts here. Have no small dreams. Welcome to DePauw. I can't wait to meet you, to work with you, and to see how you're going to change us and change the world. Good luck, and thank you.